Hello, somebody. This is Nina Turner, and I want to tell you about Power Hour with yours truly, Nina Turner, the new weekly program I'm hosting for TYT. Every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, I'll be bringing the heat for an hour filled with power. We'll speak truth to power, we'll talk about how to fight the power, and we'll plan how to leverage the power that we the people have. This show is for TYT members only, but for a limited time, we'll be making the first half an hour available to everyone, then the second half an hour just for members. For access to the full show, be sure to sign up for TYT membership at tyt.com/join today.
All right. Power Hour with Nina Turner. Well, you see her right there. I'm right there. Okay. Nina, I'm in a mood. I don't know if you saw that in TYT there, but I'm in a mood. So this is going to be interesting. How you doing?
I stay in a mood, actually.
That's a good quote. I stay in a mood. All right. Lots to talk about this week. God knows what I'll say, let alone what you'll say. But let's go to the story of the week first. Here we go again, Joe Manchin. So we've got a couple of different things here, Nina. One is him blocking a couple of provisions, the energy provision. Of course, he doesn't want to fight climate change because he owns a coal company and he gets those campaign contributions as well. TYT showed that he's made $5 million recently from his own coal company and has at least $5 million of wealth left in the company. But also on many other issues, including the income cap on the child tax credit. He wants it to be 60,000 and he says it'll go to the rich. Otherwise, there is a cap in the bill. It's actually 150,000, so it does not go to the rich. So Joe Manchin says that he would his actions say that he would kill it for the middle class. I haven't seen that in any media other than independent and progressive media. And then there's the issue of him possibly flipping parties, but there's a million things to get to. So let's take it one at a time here. On the child tax credit, what's your take on that, Nina?
Yeah, I mean, we know that the child tax credit that was in the rescue plan has been estimated to have lifted about 50% of America's children out of poverty. It is temporary, so we need to expand it, which they were trying to do it in this current bill until 2025. Unfortunately, you and I both are hearing, and other people are probably hearing and reading, that the negotiation point now is just to extend it for about a year, which absolutely does nothing to help the working poor, the poor and the working poor and the barely middle class in this country. Joe Manchin is just out of his mind. But you know what? The beautiful thing about him in terms of compared to some of those other politicians there is at least he laying his stuff out on the table for all to see. The level of arrogance is just stunning. And I really feel bad for what is happening in this country right now, and especially West Virginia. Come on now. You guys can do much better than having Senator Joe Manchin. So you said we're going to take it step by step, so I won't jump to the other part about him leaving the party, because hell, as far as I'm concerned, he wasn't in it to begin with, but we'll get there. Yeah, but what he is proposing, both on the tax credit and also on the climate, is wrong.
Yeah, and so to back up what Nina's saying about, for example, the good folks in West Virginia, to be fair to Joe Manchin, 3.4% of West Virginians would have higher taxes under this bill because they're the richest people in West Virginia. On the other hand, it would help 96% of the children in West Virginia. So 96% of the children versus 3.4% of the richest people in West Virginia. And Manchin says, I'm going with the 3% because ... West Virginia. Really? It seems like ... corporate donors. That's what it seems like to me. And yeah. Nina, so this goes to the messaging thing, right? So this is what drives us crazy. So Chuck Schumer comes out the other day on the voting rights bill. I think he said, you know, I can't believe the Republicans did this, something along those lines. We read it earlier in the show. Now, instead, now apples and oranges here, back to the infrastructure bill. If you Schumer and the others wanted to be aggressive, they'd say, wait a minute now, Joe, this bill the provision you're trying to take out, the climate provision, would add 583 jobs. 31,583 jobs to West Virginia alone. The entire coal industry in West Virginia is just 13,000 jobs. So you're obviously not concerned about jobs in West Virginia. But Democrats will almost never say that about fellow Democrats. So which again puts us in the conundrum of, well then Nina, what the hell do we do if we can't point out that the bad guys are on our side and they're the ones blocking bills, obviously not because they care about their voters.
Yeah, I continue to be perplexed and very disappointed. A hypocrisy on both sides, and you and I talk about this all the time. The corporatist wing of both parties are running this country into the ground, and they really don't give a damn about anybody else but their own donors. Those are the facts. And what we can do in terms of the power position that the people play is we have to continue to organize and to try to fight this power both on the outside and the inside. On the inside, that means electing people who are going to stand up for everyday people in this country. Joe Manchin, obviously, he knows the stats of his state, Cenk. He knows the sixth poorest state in the nation. He knows this, but he does not care because he is answering to his owner donors right in the open, right in the open. And it is, I mean, the level of wealth inequality in the country right now is like it has never been seen. It is at levels unheard of in the history of this country, and it is only getting worse. And when you have people like Senator Joe Manchin, Senator Sinema, and others, Cenk, too, because a lot of them folks hiding behind those two. They letting them take all the bullets, but they back there saying, "Woo, thank God it ain't me." They don't have to be in the line of fire, but we got to make sure that there's a consequence to that, and that means organizing inside and outside.
Yeah, well, now they're coming out of the woodwork when push came to shove, because everybody keeps saying Manchin and Sinema, why don't you go along with the other Democrats? So all of a sudden, Menendez from New Jersey is like, "Oh, I love drug companies too. I love them. I don't want their prices to get any lower for Americans. I need them to make maximum profit." What happened? I thought it was just Manchin and Sinema. All of a sudden, it isn't, right?
That's right.
And so let's go to the same old question we always get to. So, which is, how do you fight them inside your own party? Like, so right now, Nina, if you were in Congress and already the AOC, Bowman, Bush, etc., are saying, look, it's corporate rule, donors, they're saying a little bit. But if you went full Nina Turner and you talked about the owner donors on the floor of the House, well, then the Democrats would turn on you. So how do you win in that conundrum?
That is not new, you know. They've done that from the almost the beginning, you know, especially when they found out that I was going to use my agency to stand up and both criticize and critique my own party and also criticize and critique the Republicans. We understand where the Republicans stand. What we don't understand is that when the Democrats have all the levers of power, notwithstanding the razor edge, you know, the thin edges, they're not acting like a party that is empowered, Cenk, and that is the problem. How are we going to go into 2022 and convince people that their material conditions can be changed when Democrats are in power, when the negotiating position went from $6 trillion, and we know that progressives wanted 10, but went to $6 trillion down to $3.5 trillion, and now people are saying, "Oh, wait a minute," and you predicted this about $1.9 trillion. I mean, they're negotiating down against themselves. If it were me, I would go to West Virginia. Let him talk about, you know, talk about me. He can join me, but I would go there. I would get the base of voters and people in these states that are suffering together, get them organized, and go into West Virginia, as I have recommended that the president do, and go into Arizona and call these people out. I'm not going there to be loved by other members of the party, because at some point we got to put the people over the party. And if the party is not acting on behalf of the people when it has the power, what they want people like me to do with that, Cenk? What they want people like you to do with that? We can't do anything with that. I'm tired of lying to folks. Well, I don't lie to them, but I'm tired of covering up and kind of hedging for the Democratic Party, especially right now when they have all of the power.
Yeah. So If and it doesn't matter what we say, Nina. I know the media would lie and twist things, etc., and make it seem like it's our fault. But if you don't deliver for the voters and the things that you promised, and then next time you promise them a whole bunch of things, it doesn't really matter what you promised them, right? Because you lost credibility. You could promise them the moon, the sky. You could promise them a pony, and it doesn't matter. They don't believe you. So it doesn't have anything to do with me and you. They burn their own credibility and then blame it on us.
That's right.
Okay, so but look, let's get to the even bigger issue. So Manchin now seeing heat he's never seen before, because normally he would pull all these tricks and then the Democrats would go along with it and they just give the Republicans what they want, etc. That's the usual plain game that's played, right? Well, now some progressives are calling him out and he's getting uncomfortable. My theory is that he leaked that he's thinking of switching parties and then pretended to be outraged when the story came out, so that way he can play both sides. And that's his bluff, right? But I'm positive that the Biden White House is thinking we can't push Joe or Sinema too much, because if we do, then they'll go to the Republican Party and we'll have nothing. So what do you do with a threat like that?
They will have nothing, or the people will have nothing. I think we have to start centering the people. That is the problem here. Both of them are Republicans. They are. The only thing is they're pretending to be Democrats. That's it. And they're not pretending too hard. They are Republicans. They are holding up an agenda that has the capacity to change material conditions for people right in this moment. They are not ashamed of it. We got Senator Sinema went over the seas, crossed the waters to fundraise. She's holding up the lowering of the prescription drug or allowing Medicare to negotiate lower prescription drug costs for the American people. What I mean, they are in fact Republicans. So what difference does it make would be the thing that I would put out there. You know, one of my mentors used to say, it doesn't matter if you meant to kill me on purpose or by accident, dead is dead. People are suffering right now because the Democratic Party cannot whip their votes with two senators and others, not just two, but the two forward facing senators to do the right thing. None of the Republicans are willing to cross over. So it is up to the Democrats to absolutely deliver. And if they don't deliver, you control the presidency, you control the Senate, you control the House of Representatives. What else do they want? I mean, what are we supposed to do with that in 2022? And I'm asking for a friend, honestly, sincerely. I want to know, what are we supposed to go back to the voters and say?
Yeah,
and we were in control, we tried, but we couldn't deliver.
And you know, one last thing here. So you know how this will play out, right? So then they will go and not deliver, then they'll pass something, it'll maybe, by the way, at this point, but they should pass something that's bare minimum, and then they'll pretend it's historic and the media will go along with that, but people will actually see what's happening in their own lives. And then when they're and they might not pass voting rights at all, which is unbelievable, unbelievable. And that'll infuriate any decent Democrat, but certainly the African American community and the most core base of voters for the Democratic Party. And then when voters don't show up because they were burned by the Democrats who didn't deliver on their promises, they'll say Cenk and Nina didn't convince people to vote hard enough. That they didn't do a good enough job of convincing. But how can we convince anybody of it? First of all, that's not our job at all, at all. Certainly not my job in the media, okay? But second of all, how could we say to them with a good conscience, and like, yes, if you vote, I can say easily, don't vote for the Republicans because they're monsters, that's true. But I can't say vote for the Democrats because you'll get X, Y, or Z, because you won't.
That's right. I mean, that is absolutely true. But you know what the beauty of the situation is? The Democrats can do a different thing. It doesn't have to go this way. They can actually stand and deliver on behalf of the American people if they truly, truly, in all of their heart of hearts, wanted to. I want to see them go hard in the paint on behalf of poor people. You know, by the estimates of the Poor People's Campaign, which we know that our dear Reverend Dr. Barber and other tremendous leaders there, but you know, he talks about 140 million people in this country either living in direct poverty or one or two paychecks away from just being straight up in poverty. And that those 140 million people, along with some others who may just be a little bit above that, they need relief. This bill, these bills will provide that kind of relief. So why wouldn't we do it, especially in the face of a pandemic? I don't understand how heartless can somebody be? And not just Manchin and Sinema, they're easy targets. But how heartless could even the Democratic caucus be and the Republican caucus be to look in the faces of the American people who are suffering disproportionately in this country, even more so because of a global pandemic, and not move with a sense of urgency, that fierce urgency, and now that the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. talked about. How could they? I don't know how these people sleep at night, but obviously they're sleeping pretty well. And you're right, whatever they push through, they're gonna get patted on the back and it's gonna be a celebration. This is not a celebration. We should be questioning what in the hell are we doing?
Yeah. All right, well, luckily there are some good folks in the Democratic Party, and that leads us to our hero of the week. The audio on that graphic reminds me of the movies and makes me want to eat popcorn. Okay, Nina, who's the hero? Speaking of movies,
with
who's
butter.
The hero? Oh, definitely with butter. You crazy? Have you seen me? Okay.
We all got some Rona around going on. We just blame it on the Rona. That's all.
That, you know what? It was the Republicans. They made me do it.
Republicans made us do it. That's right.
Okay. It was the good people of West Virginia. That's why I ate the movie butter popcorn. All right. Seriously, who's your hero of the week?
It is Senator Ed Markey, and he definitely made it clear that if there is not a strong, he said, no climate, no deal. And just awesome that he took that position. He wrote an incredible op-ed, and I just want to read a quote from it. He said, we must prove to the American people and the rest of the world that we are serious about climate action. No climate, no deal.
So God bless, but I think Ed Markey is a great case of what could go right in the Democratic Party. I'll get to my usual skepticism in a minute, okay? But not about Ed Markey, but about the process. But Nina, so I don't know how close you tracked that Massachusetts race, but Markey was down by a decent amount. And all the corporate media was on Kennedy's side, all the Democratic leadership was on Kennedy's side. And you remember, of course, his famous rule about, hey, you can't run against a Democratic incumbent. If you do, anybody that helps you will be blackballed. But then Nancy Pelosi came out and supported Kennedy running against the incumbent, Ed Markey. It was amazing. It was one of the most amazing things. It was so brazen, so over the top, right? But Markey won anyway because progressives rallied, and Markey figured out, oh, the one thing that they want is policy, and especially that's on right. climate. And now, Markey was normal in the past, then he became a little bit more progressive, and now I would say he's probably in the top three progressives because of the voters. So isn't that a really interesting case study and one can go right?
No, it really is. And I salute the senator. And he also supported my run too. And so big ups for that. For Senator Markey is really stepping out there. And if people go follow him on Twitter, he's supporting some really good progressives right now. And I'm really glad to see it. I am so excited. I don't know what motivated Senator Markey to be out front in the way that he is right now. But we are so glad that he is doing what he is doing. I think we do have, the overwhelming majority of the American people understand that climate chaos is real and that we need to do something about it. They do know that, and it's very popular among people who are 45 and under. Certainly we know that communities of color, particularly black communities and brown communities, suffer disproportionately because of climate chaos and environmental racism and injustice. And yeah, we have a graphic up right now that really shows that the overwhelming majority of voters say equitable clean energy investments are important. And we think about equitable. It is really about the creation of jobs along the way too. I mean, doing something about the climate chaos will produce jobs. So it's both economic and environmental social justice tied to taking care of Mother Earth.
You know, you look at that graphic, Nina, and it gives you a great sense
of— Can we put it back up?
Yeah, the giant disconnect between American voters and Washington, because it's tiny, so I'll read it to you guys. The question that was asked is, how important or not important do you think it is that government investments in clean energy deliver economic benefits to low income communities, communities of color, and other disadvantaged communities that have been negatively impacted by pollution? 72% of all Americans said really important, okay? Now, what's stunning though is if you look down, 50% of Republicans agreed.
Yeah.
Wow, 50% of Americans, I'm sorry, Republicans said yes, we should have government investments into low income neighborhoods and communities of color based on clean energy. And yet in Washington, that's considered a very progressive position on the fringe, when the numbers show you the progressives have the most moderate position.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, Four Center friends, I'm Ken Napsok.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw, and this is Four Center, a Star Wars podcast that celebrates the galaxy far, far away with a mix of deep dive analysis and comedy fun. We cover all the films, the TV shows, books, toys, and the big themes, everything from the profound lessons of hope versus fear to the absurd fun of Boba Fett's knee darts.
Myself, Joseph, and our third partner, Jennifer Landa, rely on our years of experience as writers, performers, and broadcasters to create a critical but positive Star Wars space that's like hanging out in the cantina, but with absolutely no limbs getting cut off.
It is a podcast Obi-Wan Kenobi would feel okay letting Anakin listen to without going to the dark side.
So join us on the light side, friends. This is Force Center.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
That's right. You know, I guess all the majority of the American people must be on the fringe too. You know who the outliers are? It is those elected officials who refuse to bend and do something significant to deal with climate chaos. The pull and push factors that are happening even right now in our country and also our world, it is only going to get worse. And Jing, look, leaders are going to meet in Glasgow, as you know, and it is going to be about talking about the environment and how will our country go there in good consciousness and talk about anything related to global emissions when we can't do the right thing in this bill right now when we have the opportunity. It is absolutely a joke. So if you marry what the American people want and need and understand, or what the world understands, wants and needs, I can't understand why we cannot get this done. And to me, wouldn't it be a great thing? I mean, we often talk about countries coming together and unifying when it comes time for war. Who are our allies in this fight to do something about global warming, the global chaos, the climate chaos that we're facing right now? Wouldn't it be a beautiful thing if we could unite countries all around the world, unite to do something to stem the tide, to do something beautiful together for once and deal with climate chaos as a world and not just respective nations?
Yeah.
Oh my God, the jobs, you know, just everything wonderful that would come from that kind of vision to provide provision, not just for the people, but to say the planet that we are inhabiting, both for ourselves and future generations, and also an ecosystem that depends on us to do what is right. That is our animals, our vegetation, you know, water, air, all of that stuff. So it's owner donors. I mean, we have got to deal with the owner donors, the whole notion that you can absolutely bribe politicians in this country and get away with it and actually get the overwhelming majority of the things you want to have accomplished, because they're not even listening when the American people, when American people are in unison on any issue.
Yeah, look, that's why I've been saying for 20 years straight, you gotta take the money out first, because if you don't take the money out, this is how it blocks progress. So
that is exactly
it's
right.
It's literal. That's why Nina, myself, Larry Lessig, and so many others are going to go to Wolfpack's workshop on December 4th. Because if we don't get the money out, you're going to see the same movie 1,000 times over. Last thing on this. Look, now let me get to my skepticism here. So Markey says no climate, no deal, right? That's great. Progressives in the House say the same thing. But Manchin says, no, I'm not budging. You have to take out those provisions. And you know Biden can't wait to give Manchin what he wants. So how does this end? I have no idea. I love to do predictions, but on this one, I don't know how they're gonna split that baby. Do you have any thoughts?
And you are pretty good at your predictions too. I don't know. I hope that Senator Markey holds strong, and I hope the progressives hold strong too. If Manchin can hold strong and get everything that he wants, then on the other end of that, on the good side of that, then that means that the progressives can hold strong and get what they want too. Now this, we definitely cannot play games with this. We are at an apocalypse, but I just said it. But we are at a point in this nation and also this world where we cannot continue to wait and push the can down the road and dealing with the climate chaos that besets us right now in this moment and is impacting everything, our food, our water, our jobs. And just because that is happening right now, it doesn't have to happen into the future, but we got to act now. We don't have a whole lot of time to get a clue and to, you know, to get our act together. So I don't know, but I hope that they will hold strong on this.
Yeah, I love these conversations we're having so much, because as you were saying that, I thought, you know what? It's so refreshing, and I'm so glad you picked him as Hero of the Week, because it triggered this thought for me. It's so refreshing to have a non-Bernie Sanders senator stick up for our positions, right?
That's right.
And Nina, it's possible that at the end they say, oh, okay, now we got the deal at the White House. Joe Biden and Joe Manchin got together and they agreed they don't want climate change provisions anyway. Biden really never meant it. And they come out, and then not Bernie, but Markey goes, no, I said no deal. I meant no deal. I'll kill both bills. You're going to put the climate provision back in, or we're not going to have a deal. Wouldn't that be remarkable?
That would be remarkable. I'm here for it. I hope that he does. And for people who want to know how they can help, you know, fight the power, you know, definitely join organizations like 350.org. And also the Sunrise Movement. There are so many movements out there where they are dealing with the climate. Even call Senator Markey or send him an email and say, hey, Senator, thank you for standing up and standing up strong and saying no climate, no deal. A lot of times people who are taking these hard positions for what is right, just and good, they need to be reminded that there are people out there who support their position and who have their back, because it is really, really hard, extraordinarily hard. And Jink, you and I know this from experience, both in the past and right now in our lives. It is very hard, extraordinarily hard to go against the grain. So send them a shout out of love and then join some organizations and get involved.